In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. Almighty and merciful God, we confess that we stand guilty before you. We stand in violation of your law, rebellious and disobedient against your words and ways. We stand under judgment, deserving of punishment, present and everlasting. We have stood silent, inactive toward sin and Satan. We have stood angry and accusing toward you and each other. We have stood heedless of our neighbor's safety, survival, and salvation. We have stood determining life's worth by what works one has done or cannot do. We have stood dead in trespass from conception and enslaved by sinfulness unto death. Here we stand in need of your forgiveness and grace. God, help us repent and believe and live by your Son's incarnation, sacrifice, and arising as our Savior. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come and intercedes that you may have life. His eternal servanthood announces and defends the preciousness of every human being. He has suffered as your substitute, shed his blood for all, and risen from the dead, and sent his Spirit to enact and extend the many blessings of abundant and everlasting life. Because of his passion, and by his presence, ordained and authorized with his power, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We continue with our intro. We'll speak responsively, half verse by half verse. The Lord works righteousness
and justice for all who are oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses,
his acts to the people of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
He will not always chide,
nor will he keep his anger forever.
He does not deal with us according to our sins,
nor repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth,
so great is his steadfast love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west,
so far as he removed our transgressions from us.
As a father shows compassion to his children,
so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him.
For he knows our frame,
he remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass,
he flourishes like a flower of the field.
For the wind passes over it and it is gone,
and its place knows it no more.
But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him,
and his righteousness to children's children.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson this evening from the Old Testament book of Exodus. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our second lesson this evening from Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the 6th chapter. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Would you please stand in honor of our gospel lesson this evening from St. Matthew in the 7th chapter. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus had finished saying these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please remain standing as we confess together the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for our sermon hymn.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. But the Lord God called to the man. He said to him, "Where are you?" Before the aftertaste of forbidden fruit had even faded, the eyes of man and woman opened. They knew they were naked. So they hid themselves, as if anything except 6 feet of solid earth could conceal them from the consequences. This evening, you and I have come out of the very places that Adam and Eve crouched down into. And the same question still echoes for us, for our communities, for the whole world in which we live. Where are you? The Lord God calls to us. Where are you? And the universe around us whispers with every sunrise and every rainfall, where have you been hiding? Even our own hearts, whether in success or in regret, in both hopes and hurts, our hearts wonder, where are you going? Like a parent perking ears to the sibling's sudden silence upstairs. Where are you? Like a cell phone ringtone an hour and a half after curfew. Where are you? We certainly aren't in Eden anymore. The garden has become more of a jungle. But we haven't landed all that far from the first man and woman. The word of the Lord locates us, yes. The word of the Lord knows right where we are, squatting next to Adam and Eve's skeletons. St. Paul the Apostle finds us right alongside the Ephesians, struggling, hiding behind whatever low-hanging brambles we can scrape up and hunkering under any forest floor scraps we can string together. We are all still struggling. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Our world occupies the intersection of man and monster. We live our days right at the epicenter of fight and suffer, kill or be killed. Now you can sit fences about politics. You may fall silent about controversies, but there remain rules. And fighting something with nothing fails. No matter how far or how fast you run from the consequences, you will not escape. You cannot get beyond the reach of the Lord God. We have pains so sharp that we mutilate our bodies to match. We bear needs that are so deep that we idolize the animals and imitate their appetites. We look through eyes that are so hungry, talk out of mouths so angry, that we squeeze the trigger and open fire before we've even seen the target as friend or foe. We carry grief so heavy and guilt so haunting that we believe it to be a freedom to end our own lives. We haul around fear that is so chilling and failure that is so choking that we will tolerate terminating our sons and daughters and advocate euthanizing our mothers and fathers. We hold hearts that are so broken and divided that we accept lust rather than aspiring to the gift of love. We lug around spines that are so stiffened and skin that is so hardened that we will settle for human rights instead of insisting on heaven's gifts. We tow behind us priorities that are so demanding and plans that are so disappointing that they do not leave breathing room between us and the arena, the battlefield. This is where we are. Here we stand. And yet where we are isn't half as horrifying as who we are. Lord God created this humankind of ours to be male and female in his own image. Father, Son, and Spirit made us each a little lower than the heavenly beings. We should know better. But our flesh and blood lies fallen, and our bodies and spirits have been left broken. We have become both victims and culprits of violence against life. We have grown compromised, conditioned by our culture of death. We have gotten ourselves impaired, captive to sinful selfishness. Nobody comes holier or worthier than the others. No life is more qualified or dignified than the rest. None of us stands isolated or independent of one another. We exist as neighbors and brothers and sisters by birth and by nature, whether we like it or not. We all require armor. We need a savior. We crave forgiveness, grace. Here we stand. We do not stand alone. We never stand alone. You do not get to stand alone. And you do not have to stand alone. There is another one who stands in your place. He has armor. He brings armor, and he gives armor because he is armor. Jesus Christ is the armor of God, the whole armor of God. For you. He is a shelter, a defender of any who have not and cannot do for themselves. The Lord will fight for you. And you have only to be still. Fear not. Stand firm. And behold the salvation the Lord works for you today. His etched brow arrays the confused person with a helmet of God's paradise-opening presence. A presence that reaches her even in pain and need. His weeping eyes outfit the compromised person with a visor of God's account balancing servanthood that touches her especially in her hunger and her anger. The naked breast of Jesus clothes the conscience-laden spirit with a vest of God's forgiving peace that takes that person out of his grief and guilt. The outstretched arms of Jesus cover the unborn soul with a sleeve of God's faithfulness that rescues from every fear and failure. His pierced hands drape the elderly individual with a glove of God's passion that releases from broken hearts, from burning lusts. The bare shoulders of Jesus dress the impaired life with God's righteous sacrifice like a shield that liberates from pride. His punctured heart wraps the raw being with God's resurrection power like a jacket that frees you from keeping score. His bruised heels equip those who are abandoned with God's salvation like boots that spare you from using each other. The torn flesh of Jesus endows any who are bedeviled with God's unconditional acceptance, and that is like a chainmail that embraces you out of your sin and death. His shed blood arms all who are vulnerable with the life-justifying word of God like a medicine that cradles them away from the devil and from hell. Because Jesus stands here, here we stand. Every human being, precious, forgiven, redeemed, justified, no matter what she's done, and no matter what he can't do. Jesus is why we stand. And we stand together in Christ. We see where we stand because he shows us. We face who we are because he declares it. We know why we stand because he shares that. And now we know how we are here because he demonstrates it as well. We stand upon the promises of God's own word. We do not stand under popular opinion or conventional wisdom. We stand with you because of the church's ministry, because of the fellowship. We do not stand by the culture's impulses or bandwagons. You stand claimed and positioned in the baptismal sacrament, crowned with the Holy Communion. You stand with us among grace, not atop works. Here we stand 5 centuries on, 2 millennia after, and since creation. We stand until the second coming between the multitudes of faithful Christians across time and the millions of forgiven children around the world. We stand beside Christ Jesus, our Savior. We stand behind God as Father. Here, we stand. We do not stampede. We do not strut. We stand in joy, not out of anger, in hope and not out of fear. We stand to forgive, not to compare. We stand to save, not to compete. We stand so that all may be relieved and released, not to accuse. We stand to listen, to assist, to accompany and embrace and befriend, never to attack. We stand speaking truth and sharing love because we stand in victory over selfishness and sin, over death and the devil. We do not stand against one another. Here we stand firm, but gentle, strong, but humble. Here we stand even after so long and against such odds. Here we stand. Gospel-motivated voices for life. Because we can do no other. God help us. Amen. Amen. And the Lord who has begun this good work in you, it is he who will carry it on to its completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The offerings which we receive this evening will benefit the three pregnancy centers who are exhibiting at our conference this year, New Life, Amnion, and City Life Center. We sing the hymn together as our offerings are received.
Please return to your bulletins and stand for prayer. We pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the gospel of Jesus Christ, that it be proclaimed boldly, gladly, and clearly, and freely in all the world. And that all humankind hear and believe, be forgiven and saved, relieved and released. Let us pray to the Lord. For the Holy Christian Church, that we celebrate the many blessings of abundant and everlasting life, that we declare and defend the precious value of every human being at every stage, in every state, no matter what she's done, no matter what he can't do, and that we speak truth, share love, listen, assist, accompany, embrace, and befriend. Let us pray to the Lord. For the cultures and governments of the world, that those to whom our Lord has assigned authority act in accordance with his will, that each person, from the invisible miracle of conception to the moment of natural death, has life and has it to the full, and that laws ensure it especially unto the vulnerable. Let us pray to the Lord. For those guilty of violence against life, that they know the unconditional compassion of the Almighty God in his forgiveness, even for them, and that they abandon the burdensome ways of sin and selfishness, death and the devil. Let us pray to the Lord. For those grieving as victims of violence against life, that they receive the healing and hope God works and gives specifically for them in the resurrection of his Son, our Savior Jesus, alongside the whole family of faith. Let us pray to the Lord. For any who are in need or danger, especially the unborn and the aged, single mothers, orphans, terminally ill, those chronically suffering, those with impaired minds and compromised bodies, and among all our number whom we remember by name before God. That these each receive the power of God in Christ and his presence through his people. Let us pray to the Lord. For all celebrations of life, marriage, parents, children, that they, by our appreciation of these gifts and privileges of God's grace, we may proclaim the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ to all creation and look forward to the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting in his heavenly kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Savior, we are indeed bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
like to express our sincere gratitude to the director of music from St. Michael's, Jane Horn, and her musicians who provided us with accompaniment for this service. Also with my brother in Christ, Pastor Steve Jones, who serves as liturgist and also chaplain for our conference. We're very grateful for your service as our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is our privilege as an organization, a community of people that seeks to unite Lutherans of all heritages around the common gospel of life, to welcome representatives from other Lutheran church bodies who are with us this evening and for our conference, that they may share greetings on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are members of other communions. And so it is also my privilege to introduce Pastor Lyndon Coronan, who is the presiding pastor of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations.
Thank you, brother. It is a privilege to be here with you. I don't have to read to you the probably hallmark verses of life, the life movement from Psalm 139, 13 through 16, but I do want to pick it up with the verses that follow that. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. When we consider the wonderful and fearful work of God in the womb, and live in a culture that rejects the work of God in the womb, we can appreciate the anger of the psalmist. Verse 19, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. Verse 21, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? And then consider how the psalmist takes the hatred to be his. In verse 22, I hate them with utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. But then look at the sudden shift in verses 23 and 24. It's as if he recognizes that he has overstepped his bounds. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. It sounds a bit like, but for the grace of God, there go I. What troubles God ought to deeply trouble us, but we are not equipped to deal with such matters. Only God can righteously deal with the sin of humans toward another unless he has revealed in his word exactly what we are to do. So we need to be so careful as we stand for life that we do so with an attitude of wanting the Lord to search us and lead us in an everlasting way rather than in a condemning way. May God grant us a proper balance between hating abortion and guarding our own heart. What but his word transforming us daily can accomplish such a task? Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Coronan, and thank you also to the brothers and sisters of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations for standing with us for life. It's also my privilege to introduce the General Secretary of the North American Lutheran Church. Reverend Mark Chavez brings us greetings from that church body. Hi, Mark, welcome.
Thank you very much for your gracious invitation for me to be with you for this conference, and greetings to you in the name of our risen Lord and victorious Lord Jesus Christ. On behalf of the North American Lutheran Church, our Bishop John Berdowski, our executive council, our staff, and the pastors and congregations, I just bring you warm greetings. We are deeply, deeply appreciative of Lutherans for Life and the ministry that you do. Just when you think that our nation and Western culture at large has reached the heights of arrogance and audacity and pride and in this grand project to take a position of dominance and supremacy over the living God, then you read the news the next morning and you realize that we still haven't reached those heights. Our culture looks very sophisticated with the technology that we have and the way that information flows around, but the truth is that this grand sinful human project is no less pathetic or tragic than the grand human project of our ancestors thousands of years ago on the plains of Shinar, daring to think that they could build a towering city that would reach to the heavens. All such sinful human projects, no matter how grand, no matter how sophisticated, no matter how enlightened, no matter how wise we think we are of course doomed to fail. They will collapse. God has to come way, way down from the heavens just to see our pride and our arrogance and our sinfulness. And of course, in the collapse, there will be nations that collapse and catastrophes of a grand scale, but the real victims are those precious human beings who were all created in the image of God. And when this tragic, pathetic project collapses here in North America, we as the North American Lutheran Church are very thankful for your ministry and your witness, because you are there to help the victims, each individual person, men, women, children, grandchildren, who are already suffering and will continue to suffer, especially the more that we as a nation and a culture think that we can take the place of the living God. We are very, very joyful to count you as one of the ministry partners of the North American Lutheran Church. Pray for God's blessing upon your conference this weekend, but most especially God's blessing on all of the ministry and work that you do throughout the year. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Mark. And thank you, Mark, for your kind and encouraging words as well. We also have in attendance the president of the American Association of Lutheran Churches, the Reverend Dr. Curtis Lines, another brother in Christ, who brings us greetings from our brothers and sisters in that fellowship.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The beloved apostle writes, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. 1 John 4. Every single human being is loved by our Father in heaven. All human life is precious to God and must be precious to those who believe in him. There are no exceptions to the love of God for humanity. There are no unlovable ones, no unlovely ones, and no unloved ones. The beloved child yet unborn is a treasure of life. The most aged adult, barely clinging to life, is of inestimable value. The disabled, the handicapped, the discarded, abused, dominated, or alone, the fearful and shameful, the tearful and painful, all are beloved children of God. They are as precious as the blood of Jesus Christ, for that is what he gave to purchase each of them. Beloved in the Lord, the American Association of Lutheran Churches joins with Lutherans for Life in the affirmation of the sanctity of life, the affirmation that from conception all human life is sacred, and the determination to stand strong in defense of those who cannot defend themselves. We pray and work with you to protect all human life and offer care, comfort, and forgiveness to those who have experienced the crises and sorrows of life and death. May Christ Jesus, the Lord of life, continue to work through you so that the voice of Jesus, the hands of Jesus, and the heart of Jesus may be seen and heard in our time. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. And as our conference takes place this year in the Minnesota South District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, it is also our privilege to welcome the Reverend Fred Hinz, who serves as public policy advocate. Virginia, is Fred here? There you go. You gotta stand up when I say your name, otherwise you don't win the prize.
Yes, brother in Christ,
Fred Hinz, who serves as public policy advocate for the Minnesota South District and in the same capacity for the Minnesota North District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Well, brothers and sisters in Christ and co-defenders of life, what a great pleasure it is to be with you this evening and to bring you greetings from your partner in ministry, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and especially from President Dean Natasty, President of the Minnesota South District, and Reverend Dr. Don Fondo of Minnesota North. It is a real joy to have Lutherans for Life from across the country assembled here in our backyard, and we pray that it will be a blessed and fulfilling conference for you. This is particularly meaningful for me personally, since, as was mentioned earlier, I've had the privilege of serving as the public policy advocate for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod here in the state of Minnesota, which simply means that it's my job to monitor and to react to those areas where the church and the state touch each other, where culture and the church contact or frequently conflict with each other. When that happens, which unfortunately is quite frequently these days, it's my calling to do two things. First of all, to make our pastors and our members aware of what's been happening and help them understand how best to bring the light of Christ and the wisdom of the scriptures to bear on the public policy conversation that will happen. And then secondly, I'm called to speak to those in public office on your behalf, communicating to them the perspectives of the church and encouraging them to look beyond what is politically expedient and to see what is God-pleasing. Now, as you might guess, these kinds of tasks are pursued best not in isolation, but rather in collaboration with others of like mind. And of course, that is nowhere more true than with the issues of life. And so, not surprisingly, that means that I find myself working alongside of and in tandem with Lutherans for Life, with your members generally, and I do have to say specifically with Virginia Flo, who serves as the district coordinator here in Minnesota. In fact, I think it would be hard for me to overstate the degree to which she and others from Lutherans for Life contribute to the public policy work that we do here. Also, I should mention that Pastor Jim Kronblad and Pastor Jeff Grunwald of the Minnesota South and North, they are the district life coordinators. They, together with Virginia and myself, we have developed a level of mutual support that has been really gratifying and inspiring. And so, what a pleasure it is to partner with them and through them with all of you in advancing this gospel-centered culture of life, particularly in a time when the cultural tide seems to be running against us. If there was ever a time for the church and organizations like Lutherans for Life to work in a coordinated and a synchronized manner, this is the time. It is literally a matter of life and death. All of which means that we value so highly the relationship that we have with Lutherans for Life more than ever, and we look forward to working with you in the future. We pray God's blessings on this conference and on your future work.
And now our joy spills over from the house of the Lord to the table of the food, which is located across the hallway. Everyone is, of course, invited to join us for our banquet in which the Lord's grace will spill over from the forgiveness of sins to the preservation of our bodies and the gladdening of our hearts in fellowship with one another. And then we will reconvene back in here about 7:30 for our keynote presentation from Frank Runyon about Hollywood and life. Go in peace.